You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So I think that DeSantis, Boebert, they have blood on their hands on this. They have to stop spreading lies. These are lies that they're spreading, and they're causing pain and death and murder against our community, in addition to insufficient gun safety in this country. Couple that all together and you have what happened on Saturday night. So you can see whether or not the motive on Saturday night turns out to be hate, which it looks like it's pointing that way. It's still an environment and a culture that we're living in, and that politicians are leading. They're leading this hate. So we need them to stop.
Yeah, we need them to stop. And maybe you need to quit preaching against people who are trying to say, get your hands off our children at an age appropriate, then they can make a decision about what they're going to do with their lives. November the 22nd, 2022. This is a very special day. We'll come to that in just a moment. But I would tell you right now, we are going to be spending a lot of time on this Colorado shooting and the fallout from it. Plus, you're going to hear from the man who apparently was the first to tackle the gunman and bring him down. He did an interview with CNN, and we're going to play it again because it deserves to be played, and you need to hear his story. It's a very compelling story, if you haven't heard it. But I'm also not just going to let you hear it. We're going to discuss some different parts of it. But let's go back to what you were just hearing in our open. That was Sarah Kate Ellis. She is CEO of GLAAD. No, not the GLAAD rapping. No, this is GLAAD, that is a gay and lesbian alliance against defamation. I have no problem with having an alliance against defamation. I don't. And I have told you, confess to some of you to some extent, if you take it that way, I have a lot of gay friends. I have gay relatives. This is not my lifestyle. It's their lifestyle, but I'm not going to be judging them. I leave that to God. And you're going to hear later in today's program, you're going to hear some of these same people calling out and naming others to blame them for the shooting in Colorado at the gay nightclub when they were having a transsexual queen contest or something of that nature. You're going to hear them being a judge, but then telling you, you can't be a judge. There is only one judge. There's only one judge over this world, and you and me. And I'm not your judge, and you're not mine. But they won't accept that part of it. And there you've got her calling out Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, because why? Why? Because, oh, yeah, they like to say he was telling you can't, you know, the no gay bill in our schools. They never said anything like that. They said you teach what is age appropriate for our children, and you do it with a parent's permission. That's not saying don't say gay. And Congressman Boebert, yeah, she's a outdoors person, Colorado. Likes to hunt and everything. So, again, yeah, it's got to be guns again. The guy that is charged with a shooting, according to a neighbor, and I haven't seen any other verification of this, but they told the neighbor at one time previously when there'd been something else going on, he said, it's not the guns you got to fear, it's the people that have them. Bingo. That's exactly right. And, of course, we do have to worry about who has the guns, but you're going to hear later that some on the left are bound and determined to tell you that conservatives, Republicans, gun owners, even Democrats who are buying guns, we all want free guns for everyone and just no bother checking it. No, we don't. We don't at all. And most of the crimes are committed by those who have illegal guns. And if they're committing a crime, then obviously they should not have a gun, should they? Period. You're also going to hear today from Sharice Trump, Executive Director of Speech First. Do you know that the University of Texas just committed to a free speech agenda? They committed to a free speech agenda, which you would have thought, well, that would be natural, wouldn't it? Students at the University of Texas are upset because they're going to allow free speech. Oh no, we're not going to let that go untouched. And also, my guest, E.J. Antoni from the Heritage Foundation, we're going to talk about the damage this lame duck Congress can do. The other thing, the important date I mentioned, this being November 22, this is the 59th anniversary of JFK's assassination in Dallas. Some of you remember exactly where you were. Some of you are asking, who's JFK? And some Democrats are asking the same thing. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Democrats have created a new thing where they're picking and choosing who could be on committee. Never in the history have you had the majority tell the minority who could be on committee. But this new standard, which these Democrats have voted for, if Eric Swalwell cannot get a security clearance in the private sector, there's no reason why he should be given one to be on Intel or Homeland Security. So that will not, he will not be serving there.
Good, good. That is Congressman Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California, who would now be the new House Speaker, taking the gavel from Nancy Pelosi. And he's making it clear, you got the Democrats right now because they know that they've lost the House. They're trying to, let's talk compromise. Let's find ways and let us have some opinions and objections about who goes on what committee and so forth. Let us have a part. Let us have a say in it. Did the Republicans get any say on the January 6th committee and commission investigation? No, no. In fact, when McCarthy and others were trying to tell who they wanted to go on the committee, Pelosi's attitude was no, because they are for Trump. But I'll take a couple of Republicans I like. That'd be Liz Cheney, Rhino Republican, and Kinzinger of Illinois, Rhino Republican. They both hated Trump anyway, so it's okay to be biased against Trump. You just couldn't be for Trump or say, can we just find some neutral ground for an investigation? But they are now trying to say, what we need to do is going forward, we need to get past all this bickering. We need to bring each other together. We need to find a way to talk about how we can actually be friends again, and we can work together. There was Kevin McCarthy saying, Swalwell he is not going to serve on the committee. Do you remember the story about Swalwell and how he was involved in different things? Let me briefly remind you. Swalwell, I'm looking at a piece written by Mark Thiessen for the Washington Post. I like the title. The Poetic Justice in Eric Swalwell's Relationship with a Chinese Spy. And he begins, there's a certain poetic justice in that Swalwell, Democrat, California, had a close relationship with this Chinese spy, Christine Fain, because he was one of the prominent purveyors of the now disproven conspiracy theory that Donald Trump had colluded with Russian intel to steal the 2016 election. And during the Mueller probe, Swalwell reportedly claimed without a shred of evidence that Trump not only colluded with Russia, but that he was an agent of Russia intel. Swalwell himself was bedding down, literally, a Chinese spy. She started following and picking up on him when he was just a mayor, but apparently she saw great things ahead and probably got many commendations from the Chinese communists once everything was exposed, because she not only did her job then with him, but apparently mayors across the Midwest, no other names have ever been made public, but then when he went into Congress, and then Nancy Pelosi appoints him to the Intel Committee. You can't put somebody that's got allegations against them with a Chinese spy on the Intel Committee. Now, at the time, it had not been revealed. But then Pelosi was told, and her attitude was, oh, I trust him. He's good. He can stay. What? What? So, no, there's part of the Swalwell history and why McCarthy says he does not deserve, if he cannot get a clearance and a private firm, if he cannot get an Intel national security clearance to work for a private firm such as Boeing or Lockheed Martin or the Defense Department in any position, if he can't get that, how in the hell are you going to let him sit on the Intel Committee where they see anything and everything that comes across the transom? And then McCarthy turned his attention to someone else, and that would be Congresswoman Ilhan Omar.
Ilhan Omar should not be serving on foreign affairs.
What about any committees for Ilhan Omar?
You know, this is a new level of what the Democrats have gone. You look at Adam Schiff. He should not be serving on Intel when he has openly, knowingly now used a fake dossier, lied to the American public in the process, and doesn't have any ill will, says he wants to continue to do it. So we're going to reshape. I mean, think about what happened in Afghanistan. Why did Afghanistan collapse so fast? Was the Intel Committee under Adam Schiff focused on impeachment and not on the safety of America? Why are people coming across the border that are on a terrorist watch list? What are they doing about it? And their own members on that committee says it's not happening when it's true.
Well, it is obviously true. And we've caught 100 at last count. Terrorists that are on a no-fly list coming across our southern border. And we don't know how many got away. Those are the ones we've identified. And then you have to go back to the story we had on yesterday in great detail about how many Afghan refugees did we bring out of Afghanistan that were also Taliban or jihadists themselves, but they jumped on U.S. military planes and were given free passage out and into the U.S. of A. They've not been properly vetted, but this is the way this administration has been doing things. Now, reference to McCarthy saying we're not going to have Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar on the Intel Committee either. He said she should not be on anything like that. Of course, she's Somalian-born. She's representing Minnesota. She's certainly notorious for anti-Semitic remarks. And then she had a response to Congressman McCarthy's remarks that he's not going to let her get on any committee because the Speaker of the House, he's going to assign who chairs the committees and who gets on them. And she said, and I'm quoting her statement, "From the moment I was elected, the Republican Party has made it their mission to use fear, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and racism to target me on the House floor and through millions of dollars of campaign ads." No, that's Not true. That's her perspective. You can't change it. That's going to be her mindset anyway. I don't know anywhere where the Republican Party made it their mission to use fear, xenophobia, Islamophobia, racism to target her. Can she name one? Oh, she could probably try to come up with something. Would it be valid? Nope. If you want to talk about Republicans, Islamophobia, how many were voting? How many were voting for Dr. Oz? And if it's a matter of race, how many voted for black candidates in the primaries and the general election? Xenophobia, how many of them also voted for people of any color, any religion, any gender, and there are only two, to put them on a committee or do something else or be elected to office? Here's what McCarthy says we do need going forward.
We need to have an intel committee that looks at what's happening around the world and keeps America safe. It should do exactly what it was created, overseeing of our agencies and others. And so we're going to hold people to a higher standard in the process if they want to be on the intel committee and then and the training of what to be a part of that. Take the politics out of it.
That's what it should be. But again, politics is a big part of D.C. We all know that. You can call it the swamp. You can call it the quagmire. You can call it the quicksand. Where the bottom line is, politics is invasive. Are you having eggs to eat? Really, eggs? Are you going to eat eggs? My God, don't you know that? See, we can go down this all day long, couldn't we? Now, here's something else that's being quickly politicized. I knew it would be. We mentioned a little bit the other day, but I'm not amazed. I'm not amazed at all anymore. But I continue to think, do they not at some point ever hear themselves and what they're saying? Or maybe that's the other problem. They do hear themselves. They think, oh, man, I got it. I'm good. As we began today's program, you heard that the leader of the GLAAD organization, Gays and Lesbian Alliance Against Discrimination, defamation, I should say, calling out Congresswoman Boebert of Colorado and Florida Governor DeSantis for being responsible for what happened in the nightclub in Colorado the other night. Just as surely as they pulled the trigger. That's what she's trying to tell you. And then there are others that are saying, you know, yeah, we'll put them online, and we will also, we've got a whole line of people we can put on blame. And not one of them, of course, happens to be a Democrat. And not one of them happens to be somebody who is preying upon children, pedophiles. Not one of them happens to be an illegal who came across this nation's border illegally with child in tow, claiming it to be his child, and is selling that child into some sex den somewhere. Not one of them is to blame for any of the thing that we see many conservatives, and that includes Democrats when it comes to this issue. They do not want children exposed to certain things at certain ages. You go to college, you're going to probably get some of that then, and you'll learn anyway. And when you get in high school, you'll have some knowledge. But 2-, 3-, 7-year-olds, you're going to hear later today where one guy is suggesting that hey, we're just trying to show them that drag queens are people too. They can know their people without being treated to a drag queen show. But again, here's, I want to give you an example of someone who's just putting the blame on anyone and everyone they can. That being Nicole Wallace with MSNBC.
This is sort of the clash in our civilization right now, that the antidote to hate is tolerance. And I think that all kids, everyone is born tolerant. You are taught the hate. But it is tied directly to Republican movements all across this country. At the state, local, and federal level, they're trying to suppress the teaching of tolerance and diversity and identity. And they are, at this very same moment, in the very same policy platforms, advocating for free and easy access to guns. This is such a huge fissure in our politics and our parties.
Well, there's not such a huge fissure. It's a matter of fact that you've misstated a lot of elements there to begin with. Most gun owners are not in favor of free and open guns, period. We are in favor of the Second Amendment, but responsibility comes with that. And every time somebody leaves a loaded pistol within reach of a child, you should not have had that weapon to begin with. But here she's also saying, I think it's all tied to Republican movements across this country, the state, local, and federal level. They are trying to suppress the teaching of tolerance, diversity, and identity. You know, we're trying to say we are all about being tolerant, and we do want diversity and identity, but at appropriate age levels for children. Do you really think, and there are people that believe this, I have interviewed them decades ago in San Francisco, NAMBIA, the North American Men Boys Association, they truly believe it's okay for a 40-year-old man to teach a 6-year-old girl about sex, or a 6-year-old boy. They're going to learn it sometime, why not learn now? Really? That's what most are fighting against. Most have an attitude, same thing as gay marriage. Remember, Obama was against gay marriage. Do you remember that? And then he acceded and said, you know, well, I've evolved. And you may have your own opinion on it one way or the other. But as long as it's adults, consenting adults, and they're not bothering you and everything, I'm pretty much on libertarian, leave them be. But when they start trying to push it on the children and indoctrinate children, that's where we have a problem. But then there's a shooting at a gay nightclub, and suddenly, oh my God, it's got to be the Republicans and all those crazy people. Wait till you hear what's happening at Disney. But before that, more attacks against LGBTQ explained.
Pick a man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I will say that the months-long campaign of targeting trans and gay rights events and supporters and things like drag brunches, that has been a persistent narrative by the anti-LGBTQ right in the last, you know, 6 months to the last year. One of the main drivers of that hate is an account called Libs of TikTok.
That is NBC reporter Ben Collins saying that, what's wrong with taking a child to a drag brunch? Maybe nothing. Am I wrong? Of course I'm not wrong. Well, if we're taking them to see a clown show, would that be okay? Yes. Are they doing sexual things and indicating that they might be sexual active in some way or another in front of a 3 to 6, 7, 8-year-old for brunch? Then no. So this is part of their latest defense. These are, what's wrong with a drag brunch for children? The fact that you're asking it says everything. But NBC reporter Ben Collins on the Peacock's MTP Now program said they just have a reason to do that. There's a reason they do that. He said there's a why they have what they call an all ages drag brunch, and then they also have the ones that involve kiddies, and isn't it great?
For example, the Proud Boys will go and protest any drag brunch, any drag story hour, anything that a child might go to meet a drag queen, not, you know, just to show them that they're human beings and people. They go there and they read Dr. Seuss there. They read regular books, but it's read by a drag queen, and they have breakfast. It is not some hypersexual event, but that's what it's viewed as on the far right.
Well, then why is it presented with a drag queen? Uh-oh. I think I raised a question you can't really answer. You could have kids going to brunch and having Dr. Seuss read to them or any of these other things, but when you introduce the drag queen, you can say it's not sexual, but that's what, exactly what you're putting. If you want to get kids to know and respect and honor each other, begin with children, obviously, in the sense of things that they encounter and they understand. A lot of adults don't understand the drag queen thing. I personally have seen some of the performances, and they're entertaining, and I take it for what it is, period. I know I probably made a lot of you upset over that. If you're watching me on Rumble right now, I'm sorry, but I'm being honest with you. It's an age-appropriate issue to begin with. And what they do like to do also is tie in the Proud Boys, because if you have a conservative leaning, if you think that that's wrong for kids, you must be part of those who want to kill and slaughter gays and lesbians everywhere, right? No, I think most of that would be found in the Muslim countries where they follow Sharia law, as they are now in Qatar with the World Cup. Do you know that there are claims already that the World Cup has invited all these transsexuals and heterosexuals and deviant forms of life to a Muslim country, and they are upset with it in Qatar? And then you got Tim Miller of MSNBC throwing in his two bits as to what's really at stake here. He's a panelist. He said, we need to keep this in mind.
I think that there are two things when we look at this from a political context we can keep in mind at the same time. One is it's true that there is an increase in anti-gay, anti-trans legislation and rhetoric coming from the right. That is true. But the other thing is that is true is that on balance, in the biggest picture, the bigots and the people that are stoking this hatred are losing, and they're losing badly.
Losing and losing badly? Is he talking about political losses? Losing control of their children, losing their children to predators. I told you that's one of the two missions of this program. Other than being patriotic first, protect the unborn, and also protect children from woke cult predators. We're going to talk about Walt Disney program and what they're doing at Walt Disney coming up. My next guest you do not want to miss, because this is a story out of Texas that angers me to no end.
At LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. I remind you, we are live streaming on Rumble. You can go to rumble.com right now and enter in the search engine. Just one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll open up our Rumble page, and you'll see where you can push to join us live. If you can't do it now, you can always go back later and pull it up and watch it then at your pleasure, which I see a lot of you do. I know you can't always be available to do it live at this moment. But I will also remind you that you can subscribe, and we'll make sure we send it to you direct to your email each day. And you could then, again, watch it at your pleasure. We do not sell your information. And the same thing about the audio cast. If you want a podcast of each program, subscribe. We'll send that to you as well. And then, in turn, may I ask you to share them with others? You folks are a better PR operation than anything I would ever hire, I've always said the best advertising is word of mouth, and what you are doing out there and telling people to listen, you got to be paying attention to this program, Larry Connors USA, you get all the credit for making it. So I'm going to start sending everybody checks. Oh, no, I didn't say that. Now I'm on tape. But never mind. I'll just pretend like I made it up. We're in the process of trying to reach our guest. We're having a little technical difficulty, but let me set this story up for you very quickly. This was printed out the other day by the Texas Tribune. Listen to this statement. UT system, talking about the University of Texas system, approves commitment to free speech, even if most students find it offensive. Are you kidding me? Free speech is offensive? Did I not just play for you several clips, and we're going to have more in the next hour? I might as well give you a warning now that if you dare say the wrong pronoun, or you are considered that, you know, maybe you're not into gay marriage or you're not into gays or whatever, that then that's really offensive and you must be a hater. And here you can't even be for free speech without being offensive. This University of Texas. So here's what the statement reads. This is from the Board of Regents, their formal policy, expressing a commitment to free speech on all the University of Texas campuses. UT system approves commitment to free speech, even if most students find that speech offensive or immoral. Again, that was published by the Texas Tribune that was engaging it. The board, in its statement, said, guarantees all members of the UT system the broadest possible latitude to speak, write, listen, challenge, and learn. And then added, it needs, quote, debate or deliberation. I'm sorry, it doesn't need, it reads, quote, debate or deliberation may not be suppressed because the ideas put forth are thought by some or even by most individual members of the UT system community to be offensive, unwise, immoral, wrongheaded. The UT system does reserve the right to restrict speech that breaks the law or constitutes a threat. Okay. Now, that would be understandable. Your First Amendment rights of free speech end, of course, when your fist hits my nose. That's your end of your free speech. But we've seen this already. And colleges where they want to be and claim to be bastions of freedom and understanding and explaining things, they're not anymore. So when I hear members on the left constantly complain that we're all about freedom and we want liberty, and those who don't, you're fascist, they're your fascists, those who are against it. Were we able to get our land up? Good. Sharice, glad to have you on board. Joining us now is Sharice Trump, no relation to that Trump. She is the executive director of Speech First. Thanks for joining us. I'm sorry we're having trouble getting to you.
No, it's fine. Great to be on, Larry.
Well, I detailed some of the things about what UT system is doing, but here's the issue that I think follows behind it, is that when they do this kind of thing and say that the students, even though they consider it offensive, it's almost like they're flying in the face of the students. I don't see that the regents are going to have the spine to hold up. What's your thought?
Yeah, that's the biggest concern here, is like, who's holding the university accountable for encouraging this environment of free speech, right? This has always been the issue with the Chicago Statement of Free Expression. I mean, there's a lot of universities that have signed on to it, but then turn around and have policies on the books that actively, you know, tamp down and violate students' free speech rights by creating free speech zones or bias reporting systems. You know, they have harassment policies that target what they consider offensive speech. So there's all these policies that are on the books in a lot of these universities. But they'll still say that they're pro-free speech or that they support the First Amendment. But your question speaks true to something, which is, who's holding them accountable? Where's the accountability factor? Because there's really nothing there in place holding them to this. They're forcing them to actually enforce any policies that would support free speech rather than tamp down on it. And so, you know, we've seen in Texas, especially, I mean, couple of our lawsuits have been against, you know, Texas universities. Not necessarily a place you would expect to have an issue with free speech, but again, universities, no university.
Well, yeah, but I made that clear to my grandson the other day. He said he's thinking about going to University of Texas. I said, you don't want to do that. I said, but granddad, you were born in Austin, and I thought you'd like that. I said, yeah, but it's not what it used to be, because it brought in all these blue thoughts and professors, and that's what it's become. And then I said, you're going to have to explain to your cousins who went to A&M why you went to UT, which, you know, that battle between those two. But you also point out, right. I mean, the other thing that you told us about before, and again, you're listening to Sherrese Trump, executive director of Speech First, advocating free speech on campuses, which you would think would be just natural. You point out that they have these bias response teams that flood in like a SWAT team rushing in.
Right. Yeah, no, we call them censor squads on our end just because that's essentially what they are.
Yeah.
They are administrative bodies that are dedicated to censoring students and receiving reports from students on one another that are anonymous reports for what they consider to be bias incidents, right? So incidents of bias can be anything that the university wants to say that it is, and in many cases that is going to be anything they list as offensive speech, microaggression, unwanted hate or biased speech. Stereotyping, joking sometimes is even listed as an example of an incident of bias. Someone's political affiliation that offends your political affiliation can be considered bias. So they're all very subjective terms. They're very broad. Students don't really know what is actually, you know, they don't actually get to learn anything about what's legal and what's not, what's protected, what's not. Instead, they just report each other like crazy to these censor squads.
I should have asked before we began. I identified you as I think I don't know if I said woman, but I used the pronoun she. I probably should have asked you what your gender preferred noun is. I apologize.
I honestly wouldn't know how to answer that because I.
Oh, you what?
I know. I guess it's just something that I have never in my life prepared to have to answer a question like that. Because, in my opinion, because to me, that is something that is a given. It's something that's natural and obvious.
But at the same time, they could be offensive on some of these campuses. Oh, my pronoun is it, and you're not using my pronoun.
Well, this is where some of the concerns come from with regards to compelled speech. Right. So in a lot of harassment policies at universities, so they have their Title IX policies, but they'll also have additional harassment policies that will say that you can be accused of harassment for anything from like a microaggression to offensive speech, to not using someone's pronoun, to not using gender affirming language. And this is really concerning because what that means is that a student can get dragged through, you know, the whole process of being accused of harassment, which can include suspension and expulsion, and having to say an apology and go through training and all of this, all because they didn't use someone's pronoun. And I think a lot of people need to understand that compelled speech, you know, being forced to say something that you don't want to say is just as much protected under the First Amendment as your right to say whatever you want to say, right? So that is something that we need to really stand up for.
It's absurd. And if I'll take the absurdity to the next level. You know, in Texas, they have don't mess with Texas. In other words, don't throw your trash out on the roads, right? Heavy penalties. So if I see somebody drop something on the campus, I say, you're a litter bug. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I've called them. I'm going to be held accountable forever for that, right?
Right, yeah. And students, universities are encouraging this environment of tattling and censorship and, you know, this sensitivity issue that's going on. And so what's happening is students are just embracing that. They think this is how, you know, the world is supposed to be. It's supposed to be their oyster. It does whatever they want it to do. And we think that stuff like that stays on campus, but it doesn't.
No.
You know, if you look beyond campus, we wonder where cancel culture started. That started in the universities, but now it's going to the tech industry. It's going to the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
It's international. So it's not something that is limited to the campus. These students are going to have leadership roles in whatever field they go into, and they're going to model it after what they've learned.
Perfect.
Whether that means shutting down
you're
people
right.
that disagree with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or like staying complacent.
And we're seeing that with Disney World, which we're going to be discussing in our next segment.
Yeah.
I want to thank you very much for joining us. I wish you and yours a most blessed Thanksgiving. Thank you for your time.
Yes, you as well. Great to be here.
You bet, Sherrese Trump. Yeah, coming up, I want to tell you what they're trying to do at Walt Disney is get away from wokeness for the work.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli C will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town & Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. We were just talking about how just using the wrong gender pronoun for somebody might upset them, anger them, and on a college campus, it could get you in big trouble. If you're a professor, they might threaten your tenure. Well, I have here in front of me, from Rhode Island, a school official, an elected school official, said you must use the proper pronouns that a child wants. That if you do not, basically stating, if you purposefully misgender students, that's an act of violence against the child. We talked about it a lot in the beginning of this hour, and we got more in the second hour. We seem to be willing to accept we can take a 3 or 4 or 5 year old or so to a drag queen brunch, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if you miscall that child a he and she's a girl, but she's been told, you know, you might be a boy and she wanted to be called he, then you are creating an act of violence. An act of violence is what happened in the nightclub in Colorado and at the Pulse nightclub and in Las Vegas when the country music show was on and all kinds of things like that. Those are acts of violence. Misgendering someone is an act of violence. Walt Disney would roll over several times and probably has already in his grave for what has happened to his empire. As you know, the other day, they announced they were bringing back Bob Iger. He had been ahead of Walt Disney, but then they put him out to pasture. He's ready to go. I'm not sure the circumstances. They brought in a guy, Bob Chapek. And Chapek immediately started bowing down to all the woke crowd. They were bringing in transgender fairies and things of this nature at Disney World and pushing gay pride on a constant basis when people just wanted to take their kids to a theme park and we go somewhere without having this shoved in our face. You can do what you want, but don't be shoving in our face all the time. Just be normal. I mean, and transgender kids, if they're that confused, let them enjoy the park, but don't call them out and make them a victim as well, because if they're not a victim, you're making them a victim. But the new boss back on board is already, after one day, making his presence felt. First thing he did, in addition, of course, the former CEO has bounced. He also replaced a woman who was head of the division, the DMED, which was basically Disney Media Entertainment Distribution. And he says over the coming weeks, we'll begin implementing to organizational and operating changes within the company. Listen to this line. It is my intent to restructure things in a way that honors and respects creativity as the heart and soul of who we are. The heart and soul of who we are. Walt Disney did not found Disneyland and then Disney World to create sexual theme parks for children. But I'm looking at a piece by L. Purnell for the Federalist. She said the Disney needs to do more than just get rid of its CEO. Bringing back the 71-year-old Iger after 2 years. One, of course, they've had quarterly earnings going down. Profits going down. You know why? Because a lot of parents said, I'm not going to take part anymore. Of course, COVID hurt. But then they raised the prices. And they're new numbers are looking even worse. They're struggling anyway, like many companies. But then when they bowed down to all this wokeness, and then in March, Disney fought against a Florida law barring classroom instruction about sexual ideology in K through third grade. And the CEO got chastened by LGBT extremists for not speaking up soon enough or strong enough. And then he helped lead Disney in fighting to rid the state of Florida of that law, which even a majority of Democrat voters supported. Democrats are parents, too, and they care about their kids, and I do not want that shoved into the face of my child. So you had all this stuff going on, and then you had Disney employees openly bragging about filling children's movies with more sexual propaganda. Disney movies. One of them, an executive director, was filmed, said, "Our leadership over there has been so welcoming, or has not been welcoming to my not-at-all-secret gay agenda, but now I am. No one else is trying to stop me." I remember when my children were younger, girls 2 years apart. I want to say they were maybe 8 and 10, something like that. And we were talking about traditions. And they said, "Well, what's a tradition?" I said, "Something we do as a family all the time on a certain day or certain events or certain holidays, whatever." And the youngest, or the oldest one, said, "Oh, like watching Walt Disney on Sundays?" I said, "Yes, that's part of our tradition, right? On Sundays, we come together as a family and do that." And the other one said, "And ordering pizza." "Yes, that's part of our tradition, too." That's the way kids see things like that. When you're hearing the left say kids are born without hate and prejudice, that's correct. But the very ones that are saying that are also the ones that are trying to already indoctrinate and prey up on innocent children. And I won't put up with it. I'll fight it every step of the way. In the next hour, we're going to spend more on this topic. And I want you to hear from the man who stopped the gunman in the shooting in Colorado. Coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.